On this week's episode of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, we're going to talk Triple H in a little bit of hot water, a couple signings in WWE and AEW, and there's news heading into the Royal Rumble. All this and much more on this week's edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast, presented by thesportster.com. Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast. This is episode 3 for season 2, if that makes any sense. So episode 42 of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast. I appreciate you joining us. And before we get going here, I'll introduce myself again. My name is Jim Parsons. You can catch me at writing articles on thesportster.com. I'm the regular host of this podcast, as well as the host of Talking Raw on Facebook Live every Monday night after Raw. And Wednesday and Fridays, we do the Sportster newscast reports, where we talk about all the news and rumblings in WWE and AEW. You can catch all of those videos on facebook.com/thesportster. So with that out of the way, I'm also going to ask you to listen to, share, download, subscribe, rate, give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. Just let people know about the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. We work hard to kind of cover the news every week, and we'd love for you to share this with us as well. If you ever want to ask questions or you want us to cover a specific topic in the news, WWE or AEW related, we're happy to do that. So please do that. Let us know what's going on. But we got tons of news to cover this week. Before we do that, we're going to send a condolences and take a second here to appreciate Rocky Johnson, who passed away. He is the father, as most people know, of Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. He was a 2008 WWE Hall of Famer. He passed away just recently, and we wish the very best to the Johnson family, to The Rock, to Dwayne Johnson, to everybody who's involved, those that'll miss him. And it's a sad day when you lose anybody in the professional wrestling world, but Rocky Johnson was quite the performer and, you know, a legend who helped spawn what we know today as The Rock and Dwayne Johnson. And you know that The Rock got a lot of his personality from his dad. So the best to their family, to everybody involved that knows him well, and to fans that will miss him. This was a sad day, the loss of Rocky Johnson. Now, as we get into the regular news for the week, we're going to start with Triple H, who is kind of in some hot water. Now, at the end of the day, is this a huge deal? Doesn't look good, but it's not really going to affect anybody's employment. But here's what happened. So Triple H did an interview with Sportskeeda Wrestling where he talked about a number of different topics. In that interview, they asked him if he would like to see somebody like Edge or Paige return in the ring, considering their injury history and the rumors of returns for both of those people at the Royal Rumble. Would he like to see it? And he said, well, of course I'd like to see it. Everybody's a fan of these guys. We'd love to have them back. But first and foremost, there's a couple things we've got to jump through, one of them being medical. And he said, and this was a very nice thing to say, in WWE, it's always the human being first. So it's not just about what will draw tickets or an audience or whatever, but they got to look after the human being first. And their medical is through the roof. Everybody knows that WWE's got one of the best medical practices, and they don't always approve people to come back, Edge and Paige being maybe two of those people. Then he made the mistake, the cardinal error, of trying to crack a joke in a room with a bunch of people who maybe weren't laughing all that much, maybe a little stuffy, maybe a little whatever. He said, well, Edge has a wife and kids, so we're worried about that. And Paige, well, maybe she doesn't have kids, or has kids she doesn't know about. Okay, now, first of all, that doesn't even make sense, right? Paige can't possibly have kids she doesn't know about unless she's adopted a kid and lost the kid or whatever. You know what I mean? But you can't have and give birth to a baby and not know it. So that doesn't even make sense. So the joke was probably meant to do something other than what it did. And what it did was ruffle a lot of feathers. Paige took to Twitter and said, you know what, no wonder you guys make fun of me all the time. Even my boss makes fun of me. Renee Young then chimed in and said, this is way below what somebody should be saying about their employees, and Paige deserves better. And it is all true. Whether the joke makes sense or not, or was in bad taste or not, it just wasn't a good idea. I'm not sure why he did it. He thought maybe it would get a laugh, but it was pretty insensitive. Now, there's going to be a lot of people who argue that maybe Paige has this coming. I'm going to be the first person to tell you nobody has this kind of thing coming. No matter what they've done in their past, no matter how many videos they've been on or what's gone viral or what's been broken into on whose phone, nobody has that sort of thing coming to them. So that out of the way, when you make the argument that Paige maybe deserves a comment like this, just give your head a shake. That's not really the deal here. But I can understand why some people might say that or think that, because Paige doesn't necessarily have, you know, the most stellar of reputations in terms of boyfriends and love interests and things going out on the internet and all that kind of stuff. So she's got somewhat of a reputation for that sort of thing. Doesn't make it right. Doesn't make it a good idea. If you're Triple H and you're potentially the COO or the guy who's going to take over WWE at some point, do you want this kind of baggage following you around everywhere? Of course you don't. So why would you make that kind of comment? It was just really silly. Not a good idea to do. So yeah, this is going to be something that'll be interesting. They've asked Paige if she's talked to Triple H since those comments were made. And she said he has reached out to her. She hasn't really had a full-on conversation with him about it, but she will. And of course, Triple H is going to apologize. Now, whether he does that publicly or privately, we don't know. Maybe we won't see that until another episode of WWE Backstage or what have you. But at some point, he's going to need to make amends and say, you know what, that was in bad taste. I shouldn't have said that. I'm really sorry. And they can just both move on. And I'm sure that they will. But it was not the best idea in the world for Triple H to do that. So he's in a little bit of hot water. This is the first actual big mistake I've seen Triple H make. Now, clearly he's probably made a few, especially as his time as a wrestler. But in terms of somebody who's running a company, he's got such a good reputation since he took over NXT and done so much for WWE. This is kind of the first major misstep that I've seen him do. So I'm going to give him a little leeway here. Should he have said it? No, of course not. That said, let's give him a chance to right or wrong here, figure out if he can make amends with Paige, and then move on, drop it. Hopefully she can, and everything will go back to normal. Speaking of Paige, she may have broken some news inadvertently, a theory or so to speak, about The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, and his character. Now, we all know WWE has pushed it heavily on their programming that anytime anybody fights Bray Wyatt or The Fiend, they change. The Miz has changed. He's gone back to being a heel. Finn Balor has changed. He's now in NXT. Daniel Bryan has changed. He's shaved his head. He's now got the S-move. But Paige said in an interview that they're actually doing something specific with these changes, and that they're reverting all of these guys, these people who have lost to The Fiend, back to their old school personas, which basically means Daniel Bryan's got the S-movement back. The Miz has gone back with John Morrison. He's playing the heel role. Finn Balor's now the Prince again. If that's true, this theory is interesting because it sparks questions. Who's going to be next? Now, Daniel Bryan is clearly still in a battle with The Fiend at this point, but who follows this up? And if it's Roman Reigns, and that's the rumor headed towards WrestleMania 36, where does he revert back to necessarily? Now, the only real character change he's had since WWE was back in NXT where he played a heel, and totally different than what we know of him as a member of The Shield and then Roman Reigns, the big dog, and all that other stuff. So what would be the change there? Does that suggest he's not going to lose? Because if you're not going to change Roman Reigns and there's nothing to revert him back to, and this is a theory that is actually legit and something WWE is thinking about, can you actually have him lose and revert back to nothing? So he would be taking on a whole new persona that most WWE fans don't know and don't recognize because they didn't know him in NXT. So it's a very interesting debate. Is this a real theory? And she seems to think that it is. She said it out loud. Now, she's not a booker, and maybe we shouldn't take what she says at face value, that she knows what they're writing and doing on the shows. But there's somebody who's pretty close to the situation. Somebody who's a host on WWE Backstage who probably knows better than most of us what's going on with this character. Meanwhile, you know, Roman Reigns is kind of rumored to be headed over in that direction. So is he the next one to kind of step up and battle, and then what will happen? So we'll have to watch that. We'll see where they go. What happens to Daniel Bryan after this feud is over? Does the Yes Movement officially come back, like, full on? Does he go back to being, you know, babyface like he was before he won the title? Interesting theory, but Paige may have broken something that she wasn't even aware that she broke when she shared that news.
But I know you will go flying over that top rope, Paul Heyman.
Oh, Heyman? What the?
I'm not in the Royal Rumble match. You step into the Royal Rumble match, you're going face to face with Brock Lesnar. My bad. For the first time ever, the 24/7, 48/7,
7-Eleven, I-95 South, and Kentucky European TV Champion is officially undeclaring the Royal Rumble match. You know what? I'm not in the Royal Rumble. I don't want Brock to take me to Sioux Falls City.
Suplex City! Suplex City! Nobody likes you! Nobody!
All right, that audio clip was courtesy of WWE's YouTube page. That was R-Truth in the ring with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Now, I'm going to disagree with Paul Heyman because R-Truth is funny and people do like him. And that was a huge surprise to see that segment on Raw, but I thought it may be, outside of one of the things we're going to talk about to close the show, might have been one of the best segments of the week in WWE. R-Truth is so underrated and so funny and so good. And you could see Brock Lesnar having a kick out of that segment. He was enjoying himself. Paul Heyman probably was super proud of himself for writing in there. I think this is really smart, a really good idea by WWE. R-Truth was on top of his game. And I don't even know why they cut out the clip of people laughing when he said Sioux Falls City, because that was so good. It was so funny. The crowd just ate it up. But this is what WWE needs to be doing. Taking guys like R-Truth, really giving them an opportunity to showcase themselves because they're internally already there. They can make stars out of them. Now, I don't know if R-Truth is a main event guy at one point. Maybe he was considered that, but he hasn't been lately. He's done a lot for the 24/7 title, which he no longer owns, by the way. Mojo Rawley does. But that segment was really good. And if you're trying to figure out how to use Lesnar, make him into, you know, a tough guy that's legitimately hard to get rid of in the Royal Rumble, why not do this? Why not have Truth come in there, declare himself for the match, realize it's not Heyman in there, instead it's actually Lesnar. And of course, only Truth would get that wrong. And then he just takes himself out of the match. He's like, I don't want any part of this then. And yeah, there's a beating at the end and he loses the title. But the segment, the stuff in between where he's talking and talking, it's so good. It's so funny. And R-Truth is so underrated that this was one of the highlights of the week for me. I love R-Truth. I think he's been around forever, so it's hard to even say real potential. But WWE's underutilizing him, and it was nice to see them actually take advantage of some of the things that he can offer. He's pretty good in the ring too, right? So well done, WWE. Well done, R-Truth. Well done, Lesnar and Heyman. All the way around, I thought this was a really strong segment and a good idea. Now, if it's the last thing they do with Lesnar before the Royal Rumble on the 26th, maybe that'll be somewhat of a letdown because he won't be on the Raw going home to the pay-per-view. But even if that is, I won't be too mad because it was so good and so funny and it was wise. I'm all over it. Well done, R-Truth. All right, let's talk about the segment that's got everybody buzzing, that closed Raw, Buddy Murphy. Not only won, did he have a fantastic match again with Aleister Black on Monday night, but he closed the show in a way that no one saw coming. Yeah, everybody was watching the fist fight to see what the heck it meant, what they were going to do, what the rules were, how this was going to go, but nobody ever saw, at least not anybody that I've talked to, figured that Buddy Murphy would join Seth Rollins in the AOP and that people would eat it up like they did. It was so good. It was unexpected. Now, there's a lot of people going, oh my gosh, revisionist history here. It's like the Straight Edge Society or the Dark Order or all these other factions that they've done before. But I think this is going to be different. I think Buddy Murphy's really good in the ring. I think he's underrated. They needed a good way to use him. I think Seth Rollins is a fantastic heel when he's a leader. AOP is your tag team thugs. I think it's a good group. Now, the Monday Night Messiahs, or Monday Night Messiah for Seth Rollins, I think this could be an issue that they milk way too much and we overhear it, and maybe we're not going to love the name. But the faction is off to a great start. I get the hint or the idea here that maybe they're going somewhat NWO-ish and they're going to recruit people and add people, someone like the Dark Order does on AEW and the NWO did in WCW. But we'll see. For now, it's the four of them. I think it was a fantastic twist. I thought the match was good. I thought the writing was good. The match, I meant Aleister Black's match, but the fist fight was silly. But it wasn't even important. It was set up to get them to the point where Murphy was joining. And that the idea that he lost his match to Black and then sat outside the ring, I thought was so creative. Maybe they've done this before in WWE. I don't know, but I don't remember ever seeing it. And so I thought that was really cool that he just sat out there and was so taken aback by having lost a third straight match. He didn't know what to do with himself. Charlie Caruso tried to interview him. He didn't want any part of it. He just sat out there. And I was thinking, well, what are they going to do? There's got to be something coming up. And then when Seth Rollins talked to him, I knew, okay, something's going on here. And that's when everything happened. Good idea. Smart twist. Way to use the guys you already have. Again, this was twice on Raw that they used guys they already had in smart roles, in good positions. I think this has potential to be really big. And Seth Rollins is a leader with Buddy Murphy and AOP in tow is a fantastic idea. So for all those people who are not loving this, give it time. I think you're going to be surprised. And I think Buddy Murphy has the potential to be a standout star in 2020 because of this. Alrighty, I have a question for you. And I asked this on one of our newscast videos the other day, and we got a lot of responses to it. And I'm curious as to what you think. Elias, the Drifter, has signed a multi-year extension with WWE. That was announced on WWE Backstage and then confirmed by WWE.com. We don't know how many multi-years means, but from what we can gather, most of these extensions are five-year deals. Three or five-year deals. Five seems to be common. So that's probably what we're looking at here. In that 5 years, do you think that Elias is a main event guy? There was a time that he was on his way to being a main event player as a heel, probably, for WWE. And that just sort of disappeared. He kind of went the babyface route. He joined SmackDown. He got silly with his guitar stuff. And he's there again now. They're using him on SmackDown singing songs, but he's a babyface this time. So he's making fun of everybody. But do you think he's got the potential to be a champion? Not just a 24/7 champion or an Intercontinental champion or whatever, but the champion, the guy. Whether it's a babyface or a heel, like if he keeps going on the progression that he's going on now, is he going to get popular enough and people like him enough and funny enough that he could be a babyface champion on that brand, maybe battling somebody like The Fiend? Or do they need to turn him heel again to have that happen? Or do you even think it's possible? Do you think that Elias has it in his bag of tricks to change enough to be a champion on that brand? Or is his shtick good enough now to be the title holder? I'm curious as to what you think. So when you listen to this, feel free to put your comments in. If you rate this or comment on the show, add that to it. Let me know what you think. Is Elias main event material? Do you think he's got enough to be a champion the way that he's at and how he's packaged right now? I don't. I think the stuff is funny. The guitar stuff he's doing, a little raunchy, is another kind of example of them leading away from the PG area stuff and going maybe more towards the attitude-y stuff. But I don't think that's enough. I don't think that's what's going to get Elias over. Not like Austin did when he was, everybody's working man's hit your boss kind of guy. This is funny, but it isn't enough, I don't think, to really back him as a main event guy. So they're going to have to figure something out here. So for me, no. But I'm curious to what you think. Is Elias a main event player? Does he have the tools that he needs to be a champion one day in WWE? Because they're going to give him time. They just signed him to a five-year deal, probably. Multi-year anyway, for sure. And they wouldn't have done that if they didn't see a future for him. All right, I got another question for you. And maybe listeners can help me out with this one, because I think I understand it, but I'm not 100% sure that I understand it. So basically, here's the deal. WWE just filed for a wide variety of trademarks, except the only difference here, and they file for trademarks all the time, so that's not surprising news. But the interesting news here is that all of the trademarks that they just filed for are actually superstars' names. What I mean by that is they didn't just file for like Suplex City or the F5 or 24/7 European TV. They didn't file for that. They filed for the name Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, the Usos, Caden Carter, Leo Rush, AOP, Mojo Rawley, and Bobby Lashley. Like, these are actually people's names. Now, some of these are character names. Mojo Rawley, stuff like AOP. Those are not their real names. But Brock Lesnar is. He's used it outside of WWE and UFC and in other places. Paul Heyman, he's used that in other places. Now, what Jimmy J. Uso, what are they trying to do by doing this? Is this something they actually think that by filing this with the United States Patent and Trademark Office that they can stop people from using their own names outside of the company? Or is this just so that people can't do other things with the names if and when somebody might leave? So, for example, Cody Rhodes tried to trademark Dusty Rhodes' name. WWE then had to get permission from Cody Rhodes to use Dusty Rhodes as part of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic on NXT. And they don't want that happening. They don't want to have to jump through these hoops every time that they might want to use something. So if somewhere down the road they want to have a I'm a Paul Heyman guy tournament, and Paul Heyman doesn't work for WWE anymore, by trademarking that name, can they use that name then? That's the question. So I'm curious to see what that means. I have no idea. In a little bit of AEW news, Taz Human Suplex Machine, former WWE superstar, former ECW original, has signed on with AEW officially on a multi-year deal. We don't know the value. All we know is in the video he says the money looks good and the multi-years is there. We don't even know what he's going to be doing, but he's now a part of All Elite Wrestling officially. He's not just coming in every once in a while for AEW Dark or helping out with the announce crew. What he'll be doing is going to be very interesting. I have a feeling it's going to be announce related. Obviously, it won't be wrestling related. Taz's injuries are a pile long, so there's no way he's going to be stepping back into the ring like DDP did on Wednesday on Dynamite, but I'm curious, is this good or is this bad? Like, Taz is a good voice. You want that. You want the credibility of the announcer, Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, Taz now. So they've got good guys with experience that can talk. That's good for them. The bad news here is that for all AEW talks about differentiating itself and being different from WWE, they're keep hiring and bringing in these guys that used to work in WWE, and they're going to get criticized for this. I guarantee it. I like the signing. I think Taz is a good asset. I kind of wish he never really left WWE, but AEW is going to take advantage of this, but it's just not going to look all that great on the surface because it's another WWE guy or former WWE guy coming in and doing something on AEW. So I'm torn on this one. I think it's a good signing, but at the same time, I understand why people are going to criticize it a little bit. I don't know how long it's for, and I don't know what he's doing. If he's just coming in to host shows like, you know, Paige does or Sam Roberts does in WWE or whatever, and they're doing other programming or other material where Taz is going to be running that sort of stuff, cool. If he's going to actually join the Dynamite crew on Wednesdays, I'm okay with that because when Schiavone's not there, I'm not loving that crew. So that would be good. Maybe he'll fill in for guys when they can't be there. We'll see where it goes. But officially, Taz is now a part of AEW, All Elite. And when he signed, he says, well, I'm joining a revolution again. In an attempt to add more to the live events, we already seen Andrade win the U.S. title against Rey Mysterio at a live event. WWE has announced officially for the March 22nd live event at Madison Square Garden, DX will be returning for the first time in over a decade. That includes Shawn Michaels, X-Pac, Triple H, Road Dogg, obviously not Billy Gunn because he's part of AEW at this point. But those guys will all be back at Madison Square Garden on March 22nd. Now, there's no talk about whether or not they're going to wrestle or just make an appearance or anything like that. We assume it's probably just a promo or just an appearance or something where they get involved in another match of some kind but aren't actually wrestling anything. Because X-Pac said he's officially retired. Road Dogg hasn't really done much. Shawn Michaels is not coming back after his Crown Jewel appearance. And Triple H really only saves himself for really big shows. So I don't assume they're going to wrestle, but it's just another sign that WWE is really going all out trying to sell the road to WrestleMania, get you to go to live events, show up, buy tickets, see if something cool will happen there that isn't on TV. It's a smart idea. WWE Madison Square Garden obviously is a show where WWE has a lot of history, so I understand why they're doing that. Not that everybody's going to be able to go to that show, but here's what I would like to see. It would suck. If they didn't do it, and they probably won't, but I'd like to see that. Put this kind of stuff on WWE Network. Like, why would you not, right? You got the platform. You're already there. Turn on the camera. Show the live event. It would get a lot of people who couldn't attend that show to watch the show and see something else, and your numbers for your network would go up. I don't know why you wouldn't do it, other than we assume they're doing these things to improve the live gate, and even people in New York wouldn't go if they knew they could watch it on WWE Network. That said, you're talking about a much larger audience. Madison Square Garden already has a reputation for filling that arena for WWE. Like, why would you not do this? That kind of stuff is a cool draw. You can promote it. You can sell it. People will tune in and watch it. That's what I'd be doing if I were them, but I'm not running the show, so they don't need my advice, I guess. All right, to close this week's episode, I'm going to ask a question that I'm going to try to answer myself as well. I'm curious as to what listeners think about social media mixing with WWE and what happens these days between reality and trolling and playing your character and leverage and all that sort of stuff. And I'll give you a few examples of why I'm saying this. Here's a couple. Rusev just took to Twitter and kind of stood up for Corey Graves, who most people know has a tendency to put his foot in his mouth when it comes to saying things on Twitter. He's said things about Mauro Ranallo. He has said things about He's gotten into scraps with people. And Rusev said, hey, look, he's a buddy of mine. He says these things so that you'll tune into his podcast and you'll listen to After the Bell. And that makes a lot of sense. And that's probably exactly what he's doing. Every once in a while, he says something that maybe he needs to apologize for, but it creates controversy, which creates interest, and people want to tune in to hear what he has to say, even if it's just to apologize. So that's one example. Here's another one. The Revival went on social media and said, well, it's time for us to disappear, and sort of left it at that. They didn't say why they were leaving. Everybody sort of assumed that maybe it was because they were going away from WWE or working on their contract extensions, which, by the way, they have not signed yet. And then he came back on Twitter and said, sorry, I should have been more specific. We meant social media, as in we're leaving social media just to take a break. Now, we already know the Young Bucks have disappeared from Twitter because they think it's mentally unhealthy and not a good idea, and they deleted their accounts and all this kind of stuff. And there's a ton of people who use it, some people who use it negatively. Becky Lynch this week has said and made comments about her contract, which nobody can figure out. Is it a work? Is it real? Is she actually up for a renewal? They've worked it into the storylines. Is WWE using social media now just to troll everybody? Are they doing this to fans on purpose? Do they know that this is the kind of thing that will get and create interest? Do they expect that everybody's going to believe every single word that comes out of every single superstar's mouth? It's kind of an interesting deal. Like, some people just go and change their name, and that's enough for everybody to lose their mind and wonder what the heck is going on, who's leaving, who's going where, what's happening, is there fighting backstage, is there a problem? Rusev's the latest guy to do it. He's changed his name, and that stirred up a whole bunch of stuff, but we all know he's probably going to resign. WWE's talking to him about it. Lana just resigned. They're still married, even though they're not playing that on television. He's probably going to stick around, right? That's not a secret by anybody. And then there's other guys in WWE and AEW and other places that don't use social media at all. Should they be? That's a real debate, and WWE understands. I mean, this whole Lashley, Lana, Rusev storyline is built on the fact that social media is important nowadays. The YouTube hits are through the roof for these segments, and everybody seems to hate them. At least that's what they say, they hate them. But they're super important to the program, and in some cases seem to overtake the ratings. Now, in Lana's situation, the ratings are also up because of these segments too, so it's not just the YouTube stuff, but clearly WWE is paying attention to this. They pay attention to Twitter and Instagram and TikTok now. They have an account, and YouTube, the hits are really important, and a lot of their storylines are built around whether or not they can do something viral. For example, the preacher who did the Rusev wedding and got taken down by security prior to the commercial break, that was all on purpose, and we don't know why, and it was a strange thing to see happen, but we have to assume it's because they wanted to draw attention to it. They knew it would go viral, and everybody would want to check it out, and they would look at the YouTube page, and they'd see the videos, and they would tune back in, and whatever's going on. So can we take at face value anything anybody says on social media anymore? And does that change how you look at the business? That's a question that I'd like to look at a little bit closer next week. So we're going to ask you to tune in for that. Think about that one. As you download, rate, share, and subscribe to this podcast, maybe let's think about that one. We might ask that question too and see if we can get somebody on next week to talk about this topic. How important is social media to WWE and the road to WrestleMania, to Royal Rumble, to all these things, WWE on Fox, superstars, WWE itself, people who leave, they come and go. How important is it? How much can we believe? How much should we not believe? That's a really interesting question that I'd like to take a deeper look at. So we're going to do that next week, but think about that until then. For now, I appreciate you tuning in. Thank you very much. This has been another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by thesports.com. You can catch us on anchor.fm. Check all of our articles out at thesports.com. Check out the videos at facebook.com/thesportster. The TS Newscast on Wednesdays and Fridays, Facebook Live, Talking Raw every Monday night after Raw, so join us. Recommended viewing for this week, check out the Broken Skull Sessions between Steve Austin and Kane. That of the three that he's done so far was the one I was least looking forward to watching, but it was really good, so I recommend that you do that. There's a ton of good stuff on WWE Network right now. NXT was really good this week. I would recommend that you check that out. And looking forward to Friday Night SmackDown. We'll see what's going on. The in-ring action in WWE has been very good over the last couple weeks, and I assume that that will continue. The WWE will push some of these younger guys. Aleister Black, we've seen it. Buddy Murphy, we've seen it. So I have a feeling this is a trend that's going to continue. So I'm looking forward to SmackDown. Of course, I'm looking forward to the Royal Rumble, which we will do a prediction show for next week. We'll talk about all the matches. We'll walk ourselves through it. We should have a better idea of who's in the match, what matches are happening. We'll predict all of those things. We'll try to call the pay-per-view if we can before then. And we'll do all that next week as well, talking about social media and WWE. So thanks for tuning in once again. This is Jim Parsons with thesportster.com on another edition of the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast presented by Anchor.fm. We'll talk to you next week.